Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am super excited to get back on the podcast train and deliver another episode to everyone, especially during this time, to give you something to listen to while you're working from home or walking the dog or your cat, because we have somebody that walks their cat in our neighborhood. Don't ask questions. It's East Nashville. But I'm really excited to bring this specific episode, even more so than usual, because I have my two dear, dear friends, Jake Shepherd and Dan Thompson, both in the Vaco family. Jake hails from Raleigh, North Carolina, in our office out there, and then Dan is down in Tampa in our office. So they're going to do a little introductions about themselves in this podcast, so I won't speak too long. I know it's been a bit, so as always, if you can really take 2 seconds out after you listen to this podcast and rate and review it, again, that will allow this thing to become more discoverable to others. If you need to reach me, taylor@vaco.com is going to be the best way to do it. If you want to follow me on all socials, it's at tdessen, T-D-E-S-S-E-Y-N. And as always, I hope you're staying safe during this time. And I plan on bringing more episodes to y'all over the next few weeks. Go ahead and follow me on LinkedIn. I'm starting to put up more videos on LinkedIn about helping people walk through the job process in kind of real time, right? So I'm dealing with all these candidates right now that are currently being laid off. And so I'm making these videos essentially in real time as I'm working with candidates. And so hopefully that can be of help to you as well. And again, it's just my first and last name on LinkedIn. Hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Thanks. All right. So, hey, everyone, thanks for checking in and listening to my podcast episode. So I'm really excited about this specific episode. One, because obviously I haven't put one out in a bit because it's been crazy on my end with the job market the way it is. But also, two, I'm really excited to bring my dear friends, Jake Shepherd and Daniel Thompson, to talk about kind of the current state of the economy and some tips and tricks on to get, yourself better positioned in the market right now. And so I'm going to go ahead and let Jake and Dan introduce themselves and kind of, give people their backstory so they know where they're pulling, obviously, kind of their experiences from. So, Jake, if you want to go ahead and start and kick it off, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for hosting and for having us on. You know, it is definitely an interesting time out there right now. You know, we talked to a lot of candidates that are just not sure what to do next, and clients as well that'll just kind of, all right, let's just pause for a second. But there's certainly just as many that are active and ready to go. So a little bit about me. I'm a senior director at Vaco. I lead both an managed service engineering team. So I'm in a hiring position myself, as well as recruiting and building out technical teams for software specific companies here in the Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina area. Been here for a little under 5 years now doing that, and it's been a blast. But yeah, just excited to be here and talk a little bit about this, and hopefully we can help some people kind of make their next moves here.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, go ahead, man.
Yeah, no, thanks, Taylor. Thanks, Jake, for having me on. It's always good to catch up and chat with you guys. Again, Dan Thompson. I run our VT practice, our Vaco Technology practice down here in Tampa. I've been with Vaco for nearly 7 years now. So we're doing a lot in the app dev space, business intelligence space down here in beautiful, sunny Tampa, Florida.
That's awesome. And Daniel also has, Dan, if you want to shamelessly plug your Florida Gators podcast now, now's a chance for my two listeners.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, we're going to hopefully get this up to 3 or 4 once we get this on a retweet on the timeline. No, I also run a podcast that's about the greatest college football team of all time, the Florida Gators. Jesus. Called Stadium and Gale. So that's Stadium and G-A-L-E, which is, of course, the corners of where the greatest football stadium on earth, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, is. So thanks, good Taylor, Lord. For the plug.
Jeez, that I should never have done that. All right. So first thing I want to talk about, I mean, I guess, you know, I'm sure like both of you two on the call, you've had a lot of people reach out to you over the last 2 weeks. People are panicking. You have the people who have been laid off. You have the people who are nervous about being laid off. You have the people who aren't even in the conversation about being laid off, but they're nervous and kind of what they want to do right now. So I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts. I mean, Jake, if you want to go first, and kind of what to tell the job seeker right now, and kind of to better prepare themselves and kind of position themselves in the market right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're going to see coming through the other side of this is really just needing to be prepared to move quickly. You know, you don't want to be that person that all of a sudden has the same skill set as, you know, 30, 50, 200 people in your area that are all looking for a job at the same time and just have that delay of not being ready to take an interview or ready to even apply for a job. So what I would recommend is just make yourself available, whether it is brushing up on your current technical skills to be prepared for an interview, whether it's preparing your LinkedIn and your resume to match and to be full of all of your current skill sets and accomplishments, or even just getting some pre-written letters of recommendation or any accolades that you may have. All of those could, you know, be super helpful when it comes to just getting a speed to market, as we say, and making sure that you can get into your next opportunity a little bit faster than right now your competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. To echo what Jake said, always be ready. Be ready. There are companies that are hiring now. Be ready with your resume. Update your resume. This is a good time to spend some time and reflect on it. Make sure that it all makes sense. Make sure that it's updated with your newest and latest and greatest, whether it be technology, skill sets, achievements, accomplishments, whatever that might be. Take this time and reflect back on that. But also, I would say you can use this time. And there's a lot of companies that are giving away free services, Skillshare, Lynda.com, et cetera, that are giving away free education, certifications, places where you can go and learn. And this is an opportunity for you to upskill yourself, whether it's in, you know, cloud technologies or infrastructure, whether it's a new programming language. But, you know, use this time as an opportunity to be able to learn and to grow in your skills. The market is going to change drastically even when we get back to work. So, you know, utilize this opportunity to maybe learn a new skill. But I would also say this, you know, technology, where I would imagine a lot of folks that listen to this podcast are coming from, is a field where you can burn out quite a bit. So also take some time for yourself. So take some time to reflect. Take some time if you can, you know, to walk outside or to decompress a little bit. We have a weird set of circumstances right now that kind of puts you in a position where you can sit back and reflect. And, you know, if you want to read a book or do that puzzle you've always wanted to do, take some time for yourself, because, you know, when the economy is back and everybody's back to work, and I have no doubt that we're going to be in overdrive, and you're going to, you know, wish you had spent some time doing some relaxing things as well.
I absolutely hate puzzles.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm awful at that. Hey Jake, so I know you made a comment about your thoughts of when the market comes back and it's just going to kind of be feast over famine. I mean, what kind of expound on that as we were kind of talking offline about it.
Well, I mean, really, to that comment, I'm speaking specifically around technology
Sure,
companies and companies
definitely.
that are using technology for their advantage. You know, there still is this kind of, we got to find ways to help support local and, you know, buy gift cards for future use from local restaurants and coffee shops and things like that. But from specifically around the technology realm, you know, because technology and software specifically can be used across so many different industries as a transferable skill set, I've seen a lot of clients just here locally that are like, all right, let's just freeze here. But those that are transferable, depending on your technology, they can kind of just pop in to other industries. What our job, you know, as advisors, and what you, the candidate's job would be in this sense, is figuring out what industries are going to have the most rebound. I think that there's going to be quite a few that have been at a standstill for a little bit that are going to need to catch up, that being anything related to retail, anything related to transportation, anything related to travel and for any sort of tourism. You know, those companies that have really stopped to a grinding halt, they're going to have to come back, because you have a ton of people that still have a lot of cash in the bank that are just, all right, let me just hang on to this right now and see what happens. They're going to be itching to get out of their houses, and all of a sudden, I don't even know if those systems are going to be able to handle the huge influx. Not to mention that we're seeing a lot of, you know, companies that support elective surgeries or you know, dentistry or anything like that, where people are like, ah, maybe I'll just cancel those appointments and wait. The influx that's going to happen from some of just those scheduling applications alone is going to be absolutely insane once they lift some of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think my big thing right now is, You know, I've been on a few video calls this week with a few engineers, software guys and girls, and it's, you know, I've affirmed the people that have done it, but right now is the time where you need to be asking around, hey, you know, how can I get ahead of the job search? You know, you know, what are people looking for right now? You know, for me, at least in Nashville, I'm not seeing where a lot of employers wanting GitHubs or, you know, portfolios. Like, it really needs to be in your resume. And again, that's just what I'm seeing. I'm not saying that's that across the board, but I think that, you know, I've obviously talked to a few people and, you know, we've kind of chopped it up a little bit, and it's like, you know, right now, like take writing a resume, like, sucks. Like, it takes time. It's really obnoxious. And like, if there's any time where you have the time and are somewhat forced to do it, is obviously right now. So I would absolutely say take time to obviously get your resume set up. You know, my big thing, you know, I've really expounded a lot on resumes lately over the last, few months on my LinkedIn and Twitter. But I mean, if you've been in the industry for any amount of time, it needs to be over a page, right? Like, I say this all the time. I want to kick the guidance counselor in the shin who said it needs to be one page. You know,
or even two.
Yeah. I mean, really, I mean, I would say three is really good, especially if you've been in really in any industry for more than a few years. But I think the big thing is like, you need to get as quantitative as possible, and obviously mix your resume with a sense of, or with, you know, your functional jargon, right? So developing web applications for financial software that is utilized across the world, right? So very functional, high level, you know, your mom can understand it. But then also too, it's getting granular of, you know, leveraging, you know, React.js with hooks to solve this problem, or using Nodes for, you know, highly transactional services, right? I mean, stuff like that. And so you want to be able to write a resume that's functional enough to where non-technical people can read it, like recruiters, but then obviously technical enough where managers are going to be able to know what you do. And I would say that is a lost art among resumes. Like, listen, you don't need to say I work well with others, because you've been holding the positions for 15 years. We get it. You obviously can work well with others. It like let's get down to, hey, I helped save the company $1 million in infrastructure services because I scaled down our service from the AWS perspective, right? Like, that's the type of stuff that companies want.
However, if you don't work well with others, I'd love for you to just tell me that ahead of time so we can just move on.
No, I mean, you guys make a great point. I mean, right now we're going to be in a position where companies are going to probably have, you know, a lot of companies are going to have an influx of resumes, and there's going to be, you know, that opportunity where they can decide. So when they're looking at your resume, well, what can you do to problem solve, right? Like, nothing more in the last 3 weeks has taught us more than companies had to figure out a way to problem solve and figure out a way to adapt. So show us ways that you've done that. Show ways that you've, you know, done one thing, and then all of a sudden a business crisis forced you to change direction and be malleable, right? So those are the things that companies are going to look for, because then they're going to look for those separators as they're trying to decide. Because, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that the economy is going to come booming and soaring back, but companies are going to be in a position where they've looked back on the last, you know, few weeks, few months, however long, you know, this might go on, and say, okay, well, now that we know that we've dealt with this, what type of person was successful if something like this comes again, right? So that's what they want to see. When you talk about, you know, being quantitative and qualitative on your resume, Taylor, that's where they want to see you changing, you know, technologies or adapting to changes in technologies, or, you know, cloud and VDI and everything that we're doing from a, you know, infrastructure as a service now. You know, what have you done in that world, or what did you do to try to learn and grow during this time, right? I mean, maybe you came from an environment where you weren't, you know, on Google, AWS, or Azure, you know, but maybe you spent your time, you know, when you were quarantined, learning more about that. That, to me, is what hiring managers are going to want to see a lot more of what are you doing to adapt to the changing nature of, you know, the working economy, which, as hard as it is to believe, we are watching change forever right before our eyes right now.
Dan, that's a really good point about that, especially that pivot, being able to be adaptable. And, you know, as we're going back to resume and LinkedIn writing on that, that's something that I prefer always to not have a skills section, because I never look at that. I want to see what you've actually done. And if you're trying to exercise some skills that you haven't done, or demonstrate that you've done them, but you haven't done them in an enterprise environment, that's the great opportunity to start flexing your muscles on a special projects or side projects section of your resume, as well as your GitHub. You know, if you come from one environment and you're thinking, wow, the market's really shifting to this, maybe I should start playing with that and teaching myself, you know, put it on your GitHub and put it as a special project section, and add a new tool to your tool chest, and make it an easy way for others to be able to see that outside of just the work you've done in your companies. Not to mention right now, there's, you know, don't want to take too much advantage of it, but there's a little bit of extra time that you have, you know, not commuting or not having to take your kids to school or go to any events or sports games or anything right now. You might as well teach yourself a little bit and round out your skill set to be more marketable to the rest of the opportunities out there, and put that on your LinkedIn and on your resume. And if you have something really cool you want to show, post it on LinkedIn. Be like, hey, absolutely, I just built this app. You know, go ahead and check it out. Here's my GitHub link. You know, these are things that can be seen even months later as activity on your page. And if I'm looking for every reason to qualify or disqualify a candidate, you know, I want to see who are they, what are they doing, and, you know, do they have a voice and the ability to be either a leader on the team from a thought perspective or from a pace or from a community perspective, or are they someone that's just going to take orders and kind of sit down, you know? And every little bit of that you can kind of, you know, round yourself out just makes you that much closer to finding that dream job.
Yeah, and I love that. So let's move it, the conversation, a little bit towards working with recruiters, mm-hmm, right now, right? I mean, obviously all of us are recruiters, and that's the industry we're in. What are some advices, Dan? Give an advice or two for individuals. I mean, I have my own, but I'd love to hear yours for, you know, somebody who got laid off, who's never worked with recruiters before, like where to start, how to begin. I mean, just kind of shed some light on that.
Yeah, no, I would say, you know, first things first is try to remember, if you've never worked with a recruiter, I'm sure you've been, you know, reached out to by one or you've heard, but do some research in your market. What are companies that have been in the market for a while, seem to have a good reputation, you know, seemingly have some folks that have stayed there for a while that have been able to build relationships, and take some time and do some research, right? You know, at the end of the day, you have to look at it as a recruiter, as an agent for you, right? You know, our job is to really help you and help our clients make a marriage, right? So you want to make sure that you're working with, you know, a recruiter. And I always encourage, and Taylor, you and Jake do as well, to work with a couple of recruiters, right? Because as good as we think we might be in our market and as well-respected or whatever it might be, we don't have all the relationships, or maybe somebody's had a 10-year relationship. So get to know a few. Remember, you know, the second thing is we just talked about, make sure your resume is up to date. It doesn't have to be perfect, but go in, you know, with a sandbox resume of, hey, this is what I have, and then ask for advice, and then be open to that advice. You know, when we get feedback on a resume, it's not to be critical. It's to try to help, right? Because this is a living document for you. So, you know, we are able to look through, you know, hundreds of resumes every week. We kind of know what works, what might not work. And if you've not, you know, updated your resume in quite some time, let us help you, right? Again, you know, it's not to, you know, put you down or anything else as much as it is to say, hey, let us, you know, put you in the best position to be successful. Number three is just know what you're looking for in a job. What are your drivers, right? A recruiter's going to probably ask you, is it money? Is it commute? Is it benefits? Is it technology? Is it team size? Is it product? Whatever it might be, know what you're looking for in a company. And then whenever you're looking at jobs online or you're looking with or working with a recruiter, you know what those are, because there's going to be jobs that pay more money than other jobs that might suck. There's going to be jobs that pay really well but have terrible benefits, and you might net out, you know, worse than another job. So know what some of those drivers are for you. And then finally, put yourself in a position where you know you're going to be happy. You know, I think that everybody's kind of looking back on these last couple of weeks and saying, hey, the world can change, you know, pretty drastically, pretty quickly. And man, it's awesome to have a great job and a company that cares for you. So, you know, I don't know what that might be for you, but try to look out for that company that thinks it's going to look out for you as well.
That's good.
I love that. Jake, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, what I would add to that is if you're working with a recruiter that you know, values the career progression that they've personally made and the relationships that they've made with clients, they're also going to be somewhat defensive of their clients, you know? So mm-hmm. What I would say there, if they're pushing back on, you know, on any sort of reason, you know, for, hey, this is kind of the communication style of this client, or this is what they look for in team members, or this is how they view collaboration, you know, and you're somewhat combative, you know, a good recruiter should be empathetic to your situation, you know, so they're not going to hold it completely against you. But there has to be this element of if the recruiter doesn't push back on you at all about that client and coaches you to what's best for that team, they probably don't have the client or your best interest in mind, which means they're more of one of the stereotypical recruiters that's more transactional. But if you can build that relationship with a recruiter that defends both you and the client in the sense of how are we going to bring this together, you know, from a personality and technology perspective, as well as all the ancillary benefits, you know, that's someone that is it's just a good resource to have, even if you're not looking long term. Right. But if you don't have that, you know, I would be cautious to work heavily with that person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And my 2 cents is, for me, the quick guide for me is the 2-and-2 rule. And I know some members on my team got frustrated when I said this online because they've been under the 2-year mark. So I say this just as a general reference. And obviously if you're getting flooded by recruiters in your inbox, but it's a 2-and-2 rule, right? So typical recruiters bounce around every 2 years because they obviously can't hack it. And so they need the base raise because they can't make it on the commission side. And so like if you find a recruiter who's been at the same company for more than 2 years and in your local market for 2 years, I think that's a great starting point. But I would say the most important number is work with somebody who has at least been at the same company for 2 years. And then the more years that person has been in the market, the better that they're going to know the market. I mean, for me, I've been in Nashville now, the Nashville market for 6 years. I'm still learning about companies. I've screened a developer today that has, you know, an office that in the e-com space down by my barber. And I never knew that. Right. So I'm still learning about these companies in Nashville. And I've been doing it for 6 years, right? Yeah. So, and I'm Jake, Dan, I'm sure y'all can both agree to that as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, you make a great point. And that's not to put down, like you said, Taylor, to put down anybody that's been there, you know, less time. And you can even do research on that company because you might be working with a great recruiter that might have only been somewhere a year and a half. But what does the nature of that company tell you? You know, if you look around and click on some of the other LinkedIn profiles, do you see a lot of people that have been there 3 months, you know, 6 months, 8 months? Or do you see a lot of people that have been there 3 years, 5 years, 7 years? And the reason we do that is because those are companies that really have fostered relationship and have really fought or relationships, pardon me, and have really, in my opinion, shown that they're an office or a company that cares a lot about, you know, general relationships rather than just kind of your smile and dial sales approach or your, you know, VMS type approach or your, you know, very transactional approach. At the end of the day, like we said, a recruiter is your agent. And on the opposite side of the recruiter side is your business developers, those that are bringing in, you know, new companies and new clients. And you want to make sure that, you know, those that have been there for a while are building long-term relationships because there's companies that I've now worked with for, you know, 5.5, 6, 7 years now. And we know exactly what they're looking for. So when we talk to you, we know what their interview questions are going to be like, or what type of personality they're looking for, or what's going to drive them to hire somebody. You know, we know, you know, what the company looks like. We know what the bonus potential looks like. We know a lot of those things. And so if you're, you know, talking and working with a recruiter, you know, it's important to make sure you know somebody that knows the market. And knows, you know, the companies that they're working with. There's a lot of companies that will just throw a bunch of jobs out to, you know, 40 recruiters and just hope whoever gets them the fastest at the cheapest price is the one they're going to go with. And then there's those that sit down with the CTO and, you know, Jake, you do this really well, sit down, strategize, come up with road mapping and how can Vaco help fill those molds. And, you know, and I think, you know, the approach to that compared to this kind of smile and dial approach is, Jake, if you meet or Taylor, you meet, or if I meet somebody that's spectacular, there's a whole host of people that we can call and say, hey, you know, Mr., you know, CTO or, you know, Miss CIO, I have an awesome .NET developer, an Angular, you know, 9 developer that, you know, really is just, you know, kick ass and is going to do great for your company. They're more apt to do that rather than just trying to, you know, hope for the best and, you know, cross your fingers that, you know, some huge bank is going to open a job for you in the next couple months.
That's a really good point. I just dealt with this last week, you know, so many companies were like, let's just pause for a second. But I've got a couple clients that I'm actually one of the interim hiring managers for them. You know, that was, and we were able to push right along because I know the intimacy of their budget for that year, as well as income from a revenue perspective and what that looks like, especially with where they're trying to go from modernization efforts. And we were able to move forward, you know, and make, make some very competitive offers that ultimately resulted in people accepting them. And now they're going to be pretty far ahead from some of their competitors that have maybe taken their foot off the gas a little bit because they didn't have the cash on hand or weren't ready to make those strategic hires. You know, so you just, you never know really who is until you have some people that are kind of working on your behalf on the inside as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think having people really leveraging recruiters as your own agent and as a market professional, I think could help more than you realize, right? I mean, I had one senior architect that I've been working with that only wanted one specific position at one specific rate, and it took us 6 months, and we found him something, and he pulled the trigger. So, you know, it takes time, and you need to go ahead and start building these relationships sooner rather than later. Well, cool, boys. Well, thanks again for hanging with me. I really appreciate you too. And maybe we should do one of these again here soon.
Yeah, sounds great.
How about that?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right. Good deal, boys. Talk soon.
Thanks, bye.
All right.